Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
A little more of Eleanor Roosevelt to get us going this morning on her husband's first 100 days in office during the Great Depression.
He knew quite well that there would come a period when Congress would not be as amenable, when people would not be as amenable. Therefore, this was an opportunity which must not be missed to get as much done along the lines of recovery as could be done.
Eleanor Roosevelt and FDR's 100 days may be the legendary ones, but Newsweek columnist Jonathan Alter says LBJ actually accomplished more at the beginning of his elected term in 1965 than FDR did in 1933. How does Barack Obama stack up on his day 100? We'll talk to Jonathan Alter in just a minute. Just want to invite you to get in on this. How is Barack Obama doing at 212-433-WNYC or at WNYC.org? Click on Brian Lehrer Show. Now, for some of you, if you posted to our 2012 time capsule just after the election last fall, we have posted that time capsule back on our page. And if you answered the question, what will President Obama actually change by 2012, we want you to go back in, look at your answer, and see if you would make the same prediction today on his day 100. So we've put those predictions back on our page for your reference. And if you posted to the time capsule at that time, as so many people did, revisit your prediction and tell us where you stand 100 days later. Would you predict the same outcome for change by 2012 after seeing the first 100 days of the Obama administration? Post it to WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show or call it in, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Has this been change you can believe in, even though 100 days is a moment that his own office calls nothing more than a Hallmark holiday? Jonathan Alter is author of The Defining Moment, FDR's 100 Days and the Triumph of Hope. Hi, Jonathan. Happy 100th day.
Hey, happy 100th day, Brian.
Is Hallmark selling happy 100th day cards?
Well, you know, that is what the White House likes to call it, because they don't want to turn into too big of a thing, but they are having a big press conference. So I think they're pretty proud of what they've accomplished and measure up very, very well to Lyndon Johnson and to Franklin Roosevelt. He's right up there with LBJ and FDR, and if you actually look at it in terms of public investment, how much money has been pumped into the system, he exceeds them. Roosevelt, at the beginning of his time in office, in his first 100 days, he actually cut the budget by 30% because he was still in the grip of balanced budget ideology to a certain extent. He was just working his way out of that approach. So he was kind of moving left and right at the same time in 1933 when we had eerily similar problems.
Yes, eerily similar problems. And that's an interesting stat. And your cell phone is breaking up a little bit. We'll try to improve this line. See if you could stay still in a spot where we're getting good reception. That might help, Jonathan. But yeah, that's interesting that he was still trying to spend for the New Deal but cut the deficit at the same time. Obviously, Obama is not as worried about the deficit today, and that's the source of some of the biggest criticism of him. So Obama is spending more in constant dollars than FDR did. Can I go back to that Eleanor Roosevelt clip that we played?
I love that clip. Fabulous.
Had you heard that before, and did she get the strategy of the 100 days about right?
Yes, that, you know, they basically subscribed to what Rahm Emanuel said. You know, a crisis is a terrible thing to waste. And Roosevelt said in 1932 that we need bold, persistent experimentation. And then famous first inaugural address that's best known for the only thing we have to fear is fear itself. He also said we need action and action now. He used that word action six times in that inaugural address, and he moved very, very quickly to strike when the iron was hot. And Obama went to school on Roosevelt, and he decided he was going to do the same thing, move in and deal his cards as quickly as he could, because of the awful cards that he and Roosevelt had been dealt by fate. So on election night, you know, if you remember in Grant Park, Obama said this is a defining moment. He gave my book a little bit of publicity because he felt that this was a period very similar to the 1933 period where you had to move with great dispatch, put points on the board as early as you could, or you'd lose your political capital and your opportunity to do big things.
So, listeners, if you voted for President Obama, are you getting from him what you expected back on November 4th? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. As we do a little history here, Jonathan, how about Ronald Reagan? He came in like gangbusters, changing the tax code, firing the air traffic controllers. I don't know if that happened in the first 100 days, calling the Soviet Union the evil empire, all of that he's remembered for today. How much of that was in the first 100 days? And why don't you put him right at the top echelon of change, whether you like the change or not, up there with FDR and LBJ?
I do put him up there pretty high. Some of it was later in 1981. What happened, the most important thing that happened to Ronald Reagan in the first 100 days, sounds sort of blunt to say so, but he got shot outside the Washington Hilton, and his budget and tax proposals, which had been languishing on Capitol Hill, suddenly, after he recuperated, they got great momentum, and by summertime, he was making big changes on both the budget and the tax side. So he would be fourth after Johnson. The comparison is not really fair because he had become president after Kennedy's assassination in 1963. But his first 100 days in 65 were the most long-lasting. Then I put Roosevelt, then Obama, and then Reagan.
How do we judge the effectiveness of a president's first 100 days? I mean, one way to look at things is that only now are we realizing the full impact of Ronald Reagan's changes to the economy, because certainly when people do this, the analysis of the economic shock that we're in, a lot of people trace it all the way back to Ronald Reagan. And you could say, well, we certainly don't know the effectiveness of President Obama's first 100 days here on the 100th day. History is long. Things take a long time to really display their full effects. And, you know, we could even go back and re-debate Ronald Reagan's first 100 days in a very new way, given what's happened in the country in the last 6 months.
Well, Ronald Reagan, as Obama said, did change the trajectory of government. But if you look at those budget and tax proposals, the budget cuts were never really that deep. They slowed the rate of growth, but not for long. And the tax cuts were much more long-lasting. But the consequences of the deep deficits were essentially resolved by the time Bill Clinton left office. So I remember I once asked Richard Nixon, I arranged to bring him to Newsweek. I wanted to meet him before he died. And it was at the end of the Reagan administration. I said, well, how will history remember Ronald Reagan? And he said, well, you have to distinguish between history and the historians, because the historians are like you, they're liberals. But then he went on to say that it would depend on what happened with the deficit. And indeed, the deficit was brought under control in the years after Reagan. And so that those huge deficits he piled up ended up not having a huge long-lasting effect. Johnson's initiatives, Medicare and Medicaid, the Voting Rights Act, the immigration bill, which let non-Europeans into this country in any numbers for the first time in 1965, those were tremendously long-lasting. FDR's first regulation of Wall Street, which then the following year led to the establishment of the Securities and Exchange Commission, the first farm price supports in 1933, very, very long-lasting. Obviously, we're still doing that. The first effort to do thing about foreclosures, which we're back to that now. But some of the other things, the National Capital Recovery Act, which was declared unconstitutional by the Supreme Court and was actually a big, messy, bad idea. That was very short-lasting. So it was kind of a mix. With Obama, obviously it's too soon to tell how long-lasting things will be, but if 20 years from now, for instance, we have significant high-speed rail in this country, say, we'll look back and we'll say, hey, that started with Barack Obama's first 100 days.
In the stimulus.
If we transition to a green economy, we'll say that started in Obama's first 100 days.
Jonathan Alter, my guest on WNYC, author of The Defining Moment, FDR's 100 Days and the Triumph of Hope. How's Obama doing? Is he what you expected when you voted for president on November 4th? Jeff on our website writes, Obama deserves credit for two things. Equal in my mind, he helped restore enough confidence in our economy that we did not totally implode. Of course, we don't know that yet. And he showed the rest of the world that we finally elected an adult to the White House. Scott from Cambridge says, I think Obama's 100 days have been largely disappointing. The positive measures that people cite, closing Guantanamo, S-CHIP, the Children's Health Program, have been largely symbolic and would have been implemented by the other Democratic candidates. Reza in Westchester, you're on WNYC. Good morning, Reza.
Hi. I just had a comment about President Obama's foreign policy so far in the first 100 days.
Uh-huh.
And I think that, you know, as his critics were saying that he's, you know, but very strong in the foreign policy, he's done a great job by extending his hands towards countries such as Venezuela or Iran and being open to talk with other countries. And I think he would be able to basically save the tarnished image of the U.S. that was basically ruined during the 8 years Bush presidency. So that's my comment, and I'm very hopeful that President Obama would be able to continue on this path and, you know, restore the image of U.S. as a world power.
Reza, thank you very much. Kathy in Stamford, you're on WNYC. Hello, Kathy.
Hi. I'd like to say I think he has been much more than even I expected, and I was a strong supporter. If you look at the number of things that have happened that certainly weren't on anybody's agenda on Inauguration Day, the whole torture scandal and how that has to be handled, it seems like every 3 or 4 days there's another either a foreign policy issue, you've got North Korea launching missiles, you've got the torture scandal. I'm sure he got up last Friday and said, swine flu, great, let's put that on the list too. And he handles them with complete calm. There's no drama. There's no hysteria. He says, okay, here's the problem. This is how we're going to deal with it. He's refused to let things like health care get moved off the agenda. They're drilling down. I work in health care, and I've watched. They've already identified one of the core problems that have to be fixed if you're going to fix this system, which is there aren't enough doctors. So they're doing it in a very analytical way rather than a political rhetorical way. So he's actually going to find solutions rather than speeches to give on subjects. So I think he's inspired people, and I would just like whoever the person is who wrote on your website that S-CHIP is, quote, merely symbolic, is an idiot who doesn't know anything about health care. S-CHIP is going to save children's lives. So saying that would have been done by anybody, it sure wasn't done by the preceding administration. So I think it's a matter of both tone and just rolling with the whatever comes up. And if it's swine flu, we'll handle it. And uh-huh. You just sense that people are calming down and going, this is going to be okay. We'll get through this.
Kathy, thank you very much. From our website, I didn't vote for him, and I am troubled by lots of stuff. Bailouts, torture, warrantless wiretaps, a staff of retreads, partisan rhetoric, even adds bad bowling. Those were the things that I want to change and ain't changing. Assad in Queens, you're on WNYC. Hi, Assad.
Good morning, Brian. I voted for President Obama. I'm a big supporter, but I do have some concerns. You know, for example, we have given taxpayer money to the auto industry, and they have made big changes. But at the same time, you have given a ton of money to the financial industry, and all you hear these days are these CEOs complaining and whining that, you know, there's too many restrictions on them. And I just found that, you know, for a candidate that took limited tax money, he would have had more guts to stand up to the big America, to the big corporations, and not take, you know, control the money you gave out to them.
Assad, thank you very much. And Jonathan Alter, it is interesting how there are plenty of criticisms of President Obama, even though his approval ratings in general are very high. It's easy to find them on both the left and the right. Either he's being predictably liberal, the most boilerplate liberal that we've had in the White House, blah, 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 as we're seeing on the Wall Street Journal editorial page today, or as from some of the posts and callers who we've heard from here, you know, hasn't changed enough with respect to the detainee policies and warrantless wiretapping and things like that. So people will make their own judgments.
Well, you know, it's fascinating to me how similar this is to Roosevelt. I don't mean to sound FDR-centric, Brian, but, you know, he was pressured heavily from the left in his first 100 days, as well as Republicans going nuts for what he was doing. And anytime you try to make major changes, you are going to get hammered. And that's just part of the process. But it, you know, most of the country is supportive of Obama the way it was of Roosevelt. And so you have to kind of accept that that's just part of the hurly-burly of our democracy, that you never, as Lincoln said, you can't please all the people all the time.
Right.
And that people are going to be upset about one thing or another. And you have to look at, as the previous caller said, that, you know, sort of the larger picture of the larger direction that he is charting. And so, and on some of the particulars, not just the fact that he's improved his bowl score, on some of the particulars, I think that he has made a little bit more progress than some of us might assume, because events have been moving so quickly. So you take something like the stimulus bill, which took a lot of heat.
Something like what, Jonathan? You broke up there for a second.
The stimulus bill, which
right.
took a lot of heat. There's an awful lot of good stuff, important stuff in that. It's really about five or six major pieces of legislation in one, maybe seven or eight bills in one.
And we're going to dig into the stimulus a little bit with our next guests coming up here in just a minute, who will look specifically at what kind of a president Barack Obama has been so far for New York as a metropolitan area and for cities in general. He may be the least afraid of urban policy of any president in our lifetimes, at least since LBJ. And so, last question for you, Jonathan Alter. Since you were doing some of the history and looking at different presidents and their 100 days, how about George W. Bush, our previous president? I mean, we all remember him. I think history will remember him by the first 100 days after 9/11 and all the things he set in motion at that time. What about the first 100 days after inauguration?
You know, there was a crisis involving a military aircraft that wandered into Chinese airspace that was resolved peacefully in the early months of his presidency. He got the No Child Left Behind bill through. So he had a relatively good first 100 days. And what that tells us is that a good start is helpful, but obviously not sufficient for presidential success. So we need to be cautious about getting ahead of ourselves. It's extremely important not to stumble out of the gate and to get some things done early on, but it's no guarantee. And Obama has miles to go before he sleeps, as Robert Frost said.
Jonathan Alter, author of The Defining Moment, FDR's 100 Days and the Triumph of Hope. He's also got a 100 Days essay on Newsweek.com and in Newsweek magazine. And Jonathan, I see you have a 100 Days event tonight. Is that in New York?
Tonight, the event is in New Paltz. And then I've got another one at Hofstra University tomorrow. I was down at the Clinton Library yesterday. So I'm doing a lot of 100 days related events.
Okay. All right. So people can go to Newsweek.com if you want to see where Jonathan Alter's going to be, including New Paltz later today. Thanks a lot, Jonathan.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. And has it been a new deal for New York? In a minute.